Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about learning how to cut your losses.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
Or how to cultivate the art of cutting your losses. And here's why I proposed this topic, and here's why I want to talk about this with you, Heaton. I don't know. It feels like more recently, for one reason or another, some of the challenges that founders have been communicating to me could all be summarized as people getting into trouble or their startups getting into trouble, not necessarily because they decided to go down a path that turned out to be wrong, but because once there were sufficient enough amount of data and proof that they're going down the wrong path, they felt so invested in that path or in that project
that they kept going.
And this is not just other people. I've made this mistake in many ways in my own life, and we've made this mistake as a company ourselves. Like I don't think I'm above it, but it's just funny enough that it's been kind of in very different shapes and forms been a topic, like, or at least it's been the way I've been interpreting some of the problems that have been coming to me. And today it's been a very strong thing on top of my mind. So I was like, I need to talk to Heaton about this. The problem not being you made a wrong decision. The problem is once there was enough information that it's the wrong decision, you kept going because you didn't want to take your losses and start again. Like, am I crazy or is this a really big challenge?
Dude, so there's this thing, and this is for anyone listening that wants to super geek out on it. We're not going to talk about it like this, but there's something called a sunk cost fallacy. And like you can look it up, Google it. I'm sure there's content about it. I don't want to talk about it in that way because I think it's too, not advanced, but like it makes it too complicated. But basically the concept and the idea is what you're talking about. So I'll first start by saying, dude, that's so cool that you found this. It's one of the root causes that I've found to 99% of business problems until you get over it. After you get over it, a lot of things change for your mindset is what I've noticed. And some people are over it, some people aren't. It's just very interesting. We've talked previously, I don't know what episode, but you know, you should search iTunes and search our blog and find the good stuff. So I'm not even going to go there. But basically, we've talked about like organizational self-awareness and personal self-awareness. And this is very related to that to me, because the way you stop this problem is by going there. So what is the problem? To me, the problem you're hitting on is basically this idea that you've been doing a bunch of stuff, and instead of realizing that it's bad or realizing it's not serving the business well or serving you well, you continue to do it because you're already invested in it. And this is like so tricky, because you always have that feeling that whatever you did is like, it's good, right? Like you did it, and like there's just more you can do and make it work, and there's all these feelings around it depending on what you're dealing with. But at the end of the day, you have to be willing to stop and possibly scrap everything you've done before in order to get to where you need to go next. And I think it's the hardest thing to do. The easiest thing to do is continue doing what you're already doing. The hardest thing to do is evaluate it and realize that whatever you were doing isn't working, and that maybe you even wasted a little bit of extra time than you should have on it. And then what do? Usually you keep going because you're like, oh, wait, we spent this much money. Or we hired this person and we shouldn't fire them, right? Because we already hired them, and what happens when they leave? And like all of it relates back to this core problem, which is I have invested so much in something. We have invested so much in something. Why not just continue it? That's almost the easy way out versus thinking through your problem and saying, look, whatever we did in the past doesn't even matter. So one trick I use just to jump in, and then I want to hear how you think about this lens. Because I think you've hit on like one of the core problems that every company has, every business has, every person has in life, which is this idea that they invested in something. So the way I think you dispel it is like, and I do this constantly. I just did this yesterday to Marie, my business partner, and she freaked out, not in a bad way, but she was like, oh no, we can't do it like that. I'm like, wait, I'm not even saying we can't do it like that. What I said is fragile. You know, like you don't need to like scrutinize it the way you did, but I get why you are. That was why I said it. But essentially what it is just think of the exact opposite. In every area you're struggling with today or every area where you think there's a problem, just think of the exact opposite of what you're doing today. Just for the thought process of like going there. And the reason is you've invested so much in it, whatever it may be, whether it's money, time, brain power, humans, whatever it is, that it's hard to see the opposite unless you actually just sit there and sit with the opposite for a second, right? Which is like, we've been thinking about this like X. What if we think about it like Y, which is completely opposite than X? What would happen? And that's the interesting trick in my mind that I found to be most impactful for me.
I love that. But I think the nuances here really matter. My only immediate response or comment on this is that thinking of the opposite in itself is not enough because intention matters. If you think of the opposite in order, again, to prove yourself right, if you're like, oh, I thought about the opposite strategy, but then you still do it through the old paradigm or your old habitual ways of thinking of like, the reason why we're not doing enterprise sales is because da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you just like, you just repeat what you've already thought and already said and already decided versus thinking of the opposite with the intention of believing that the opposite is right, right? Just thinking, doing the thought experiment, not to prove yourself in the current strategy right, but to prove it wrong. If we did the exact opposite and that was the true answer, how would we have to think about it? Like, I don't know how you get yourself to that point, but it's really important to do these thought experiments, to do them in the right framework. Otherwise, they're kind of useless or they can be misused to just, you know, circle jerk and do the thing that you all wanted to do anyways, and then convince yourself you thought it through from different angles, although it was, you went to different places, but you always applied the same angle, if that makes any sense. But I love that. And with you, particularly in the kind of flexibility of thinking that you demonstrate daily, I think that I can see how you're challenging your environment and the teams that you're part of to really think of the opposite strategy, as in like, what if that was the right thing to do? I think that there's something, I'll share something philosophical and then something practical. I think, or maybe even before I do that, just very quickly for the people that still find this too theoretical, maybe a few examples of when people, projects or companies don't cut your losses. Maybe that makes some amount of sense at the beginning of this episode. I mean, cutting your losses, this is the type of thing where you know, as an example, you hire an agency to develop an app for you and the first few weeks are going really badly and they're not delivering any good work and the first version of what they promise you, they did really, really poorly. Now, if you've already spent maybe a month with them or two, you already spent some money with them, the thought is very painful, and this is the emotional part of this. The thought of stopping and saying, you know what, we'd rather just stop here, take the money you've taken from us, and we'll try to find another agency we can work better with, that thought seems very painful to most people. That's cutting your losses. That's not seeing it through, although you can tell that it's not going well. It's like cutting the loss and admitting this was the wrong agency and we're not going to finish the project with them just because we started it. But this applies to investment. That's probably why most humans are not great financial investors, is, you know, they buy stock or they buy, you know, whatever kind of investments they make. And then when they start losing, even when they just lose theoretical profits, they get so invested in, you know, those losses that they just, it's just too painful for them to sell and take their losses, cut their losses and move on to the next investment. They just try and wait out to get back into the green or back into the black. And then, of course, most of the time it gets worse and worse and worse. But there's many, many different places where this applies. I think for me, just, there's one thing that you just have to realize in life, and that is that there's a cost of doing business and there's a cost of living. And that means that you're going to make mistakes. And you cannot avoid making mistakes, but the way to mitigate the risk of making mistakes is to cut your losses once you realize that. I think most people don't operate under that principle. Most people try to never make a mistake by gathering a ton of data before they commit to something, or once they commit to something, they try to make that something a success no matter what. Like, once I buy a stock, I'm going to wait until I have a profit. And I think that that's obviously, that's the worst strategy ever. Like, you just need to realize that you cannot win all the time. So you're going to have to cut, get into the habit of losing, but just lose quickly. Lose quickly and move on to the next thing where you have a chance to win versus sticking with things for way too long until you're in the winning column. One practical framework that I have to share here before we move on, I want to hear your thoughts on that. And that one is that I have this base principle in life that when things start out very complicated and very difficult, they never end well. So, and this is something like a lot of people on my team hear me say that, people who know me have heard me say this many, many times in many different situations. I apply this principle when it comes to hiring, when it comes to working with people, when it comes to projects. Whenever things start out too painful, too difficult, too complicated, not that great, I always want to cut, like I want to cut my losses as early as possible. So ideally, I cut them before we even really got started. And that's kind of one principle that allows me to see an out is whenever things start complicated and difficult, and there's misunderstandings and there's back and forth and there's misalignments in the early days, to me, that's a very strong signal to get out. That's a really strong signal to move on and do something else or work with somebody else, because I'm like, this thing is not going to go well. Like, it just starts off already on the wrong foot. Because when projects start beautifully and perfectly aligned and everything is amazing, by the end, you're going to have to overcome some challenges and some misalignments and some problems. But when he starts out with problems, usually it's never ending well. So, but what do you say to people, Heaton, that are like, well, what about perseverance? What about, you know, all these stories that we've read about things that weren't going well and some entrepreneur just pushed and pushed and pushed until they turned things around? And that seems in contradiction with cutting your losses, right? And this is a balance that I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with, which is the how do you know when to persevere versus when to pivot or stop? Like, how do you make these assessments? How do you know when to cut your losses? You know, applying some of the things that we talked about might be useful. But what do you tell to people that are like working on a project that's not going well and they're like, well, don't I have to just persevere until I turn this thing around? Like, I can't just quit on everything just because it's difficult.
Oh, man, this is such a powerful way to like run, fix, solve problems that like, I think this perseverance, it's like, it's almost like the more you think about persevering on something, the more likely it is you need to stop doing it the way you have been. You know, and I know that's